Today on the show, I tear apart allegedly the most iconic video game characters of all time. We have our first look at Joker 2, plus the most underrated sitcom of all time. What do you think it is? All that and more on 20th Century Boy, the only show that thinks Stacey's mum doesn't have it going on. Welcome to 20th Century Boy. My name is Hard Mike, and this is the inside of my mind. That's a strange name for me to start with. If you're new to the show, welcome. Every week I start with a new name on this show. This week I've gone with Hard Mike because last week I was on the TV show Hard Quiz on the ABC. Thank you so much for all the feedback that people have given me from that. A lot of people saying, oh, I only watched until you got knocked out and then I stopped watching, which I guess is good for me, bad for the show. But yeah, if you want to watch my Hard Quiz episode, it is still, I'll put the link in the description to this podcast. This is 20th Century Boy, a podcast about me, Radio Mike, just a guy from Melbourne, Australia, making his way through life. And yeah, this podcast is the conversations you wish you were having about the stuff that no one else cares about, and it's a lot of fun. I'm really really enjoying this pod as always. Time is going so fast this year. Time just disappears, right? Because on the day of recording, I'm leaving for Japan in 11 days, and it just hit me, and I'm like, oh wow, I am not in holiday mode. I am not prepared at all. I mean, I'm only going for like 18 days, but still, I'm just like, oh shit, yeah, I'm going away. That's crazy. But it'll be really good. I'm really excited. I will be recording, I think I missed 3 weeks of this show. So I think I'm going to be bulk recording 3 episodes. I did a similar thing when I was in Europe and they were good. So I will just be pre-recording a bunch of episodes of the show while I am away, so the content will keep coming out. There will still be a movie club episode at the end of the month. I think Pat and Mike will go on a short break during my trip, but yeah, TCB will be out every Thursday, which is really, really good. Can I do a quick solicit here? When I went to Europe last year, one of the ways that we kind of filled the content in those shows, because obviously I can't do topical content if I'm away and pre-recording. So we just did listener Q&As a lot of the time, which worked really well. So I would definitely love for people to send in your questions. Right now, if you're listening, think of a question and please send it to me. I will be very disappointed if I don't get, you know, a bunch of questions. Please send them in. I've got a few already, but I think I could use a few more to build these shows. And you guys always ask great questions and the content ends up great. So please, 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 times infinity, please support the show by sending in a question or just subscribing on the Patreon, patreon.com/radiomike. Give us a bit of money for all the content you like. But yeah, I'm really excited for my trip. We've got some really cool things lined up, in Japan. And you know, I can't wait. Not heaps to say on that. I'm just, I'm a bit scattered at the moment because I realize I don't have as much time as I thought I did, which is okay. But yeah, I had this funny incident over the weekend because I went to my friend Sam Garlep's Comedy Fest show. He put on such a great show. I was helping him out with it. I helped out with some of the content, but I also was filming the shows some of the night for social media. And that was great. I saw his show 3 times. It was awesome. We then went to see Osher Ginsberg's show where Will Anderson was the guest, which I didn't know. And then I saw Will, who I worked with for many years. First time I'd seen him in person for literally probably 4 years, which is crazy, because he obviously doesn't live in Melbourne, but yeah, just saw him, said hello. But, you know, on the way into the city, one of the nights, cause I live in Richmond, I just jump on the train, couple stops to the city, and my my key broke when I was taking it out of my wallet. I just like had it on a bad angle and it sort of snapped. It wasn't fully snapped, but it was like broken in the middle, but it wasn't like in 2 pieces, if you get what I mean. Bit flimsy. And obviously that's a problem. And I was like, oh God. So I go to the train station, and if you don't know what my key is, it's like the Melbourne ticket
to like, you have to touch on your Mikey to get into the train station. Terrible system. I think I did a full episode of this pod once where I complained about Mikey and how it's the worst system of all time. I stand by that. It is terrible. And I go to the, I just like, maybe if I hold it together in one piece, it might be, it might just touch on and I won't have to do anything. So I try that. It doesn't work. I'm like, okay, fair enough. And then I start walking sort of towards the customer service area, but there's like this woman who works for like the train company. And she's like this tall old woman. And she speaks like she lives in the 1800s. Like it was really weird. So I start walking away. She's like, no, sir, don't walk away. Don't walk away. I can help you. I can help you, sir. What do you need? And I'm like, well, in my mind, I was like, I already know you're not going to be able to help me. But I just feel too rude ignoring you. So I walked back up to her and I said, oh yeah, my card is broken. And she looked at me and she's like, oh, yes. Oh, that's terrible. Well, you'll need to touch on your card to get through, but unfortunately, that card will not scan, sir. And I'm like, yes, I'm aware of this. Like, that's what I wanted to say. But I'm like, oh, okay. She's like, so yes, you were doing the right thing. Head on down to customer service and they'll help you out. And I was like, oh, thank you. That's what I was doing already. And then the weirdest part was, then she said to me as I was like sort of departing, she's like, go on, do what needs to be done. Like it was like I had brought her my sick dog and she was like, you know, you've got to put it down, you know, go and do what needs to be done. You know, it's the only humane thing to do. And she was like going, go do what needs to be done. And like basically saying, go and shoot the dog in the head out the back, you know. It was such a weird way of saying, go to customer service and they'll replace the card for you. Do what needs to be done. It was really weird. And then when I was walking, she was like, oh, sir, when you're touching on the card, make sure you don't press down hard because that's why it snapped. Go on, do what needs to be done. I was like, okay, that was one of the most insane interactions I've ever had in my life. And then it got even weirder. I went to customer service and I said to the woman, I held her my card because, you know, these cards are so flimsy, they break a lot. And I know that like one of the only good parts about Mikey is they'll just replace the card and put the money on the new card, right? So I show this woman behind the counter at customer service my card and I go, hey, sorry, my card broke and I've got to jump on a train. My card broke. And then she grabs the card and she was quite nice, but she definitely misunderstood me because then she started explaining to me why the card broke. So she's like, oh, yes. So these cards, they are made to be flimsy, but if you put too much pressure on them, they will snap. So it's likely that snapped coming out of your wallet or you're touching down to her. And I wanted to say, mate, I fucking understand how plastic works. I understand why the card snapped. I'm not an idiot. I've been alive for nearly 30 years. I understand like basic physics. Like if you put too much pressure on a plastic card, it will snap. Who do you think I am? Why are you explaining to me why this card snapped? It was the most ludicrous thing I've ever experienced in my life. Because when I said to her, oh, my card snapped and I need to get on the train, I wasn't saying, how did this happen? How has this happened? I was saying, replace my card, please. But she seemed to think I was like so confused about the outcome of this card scenario. She seems to think that I genuinely didn't understand how the card snapped. Anyway, then I just, I nodded along. I was like, oh, that's how it snapped. Oh, see, I never would have known that because I was just like, you know, I just couldn't be fucked. Or as if I was going to say, please just replace the card. I don't care about this bullshit about how the card broke. Anyway, she replaced the card. That was just a funny story. Mikey, like the fact that the woman who works for Mikey thinks I'm so stupid that I don't understand how the card broke is just remarkable to me.
Hey, I got this great message, because a few weeks ago I took the week off the pod. I took a couple weeks off, I think, which is probably shit for you guys. Apologies. But, you know, this pod is just a reflection of my brain and my life. I want to say I actually checked in again to see a psych. For a while, I haven't seen a psych. I used to see a few different psychs, like, you know, pre-COVID, and then I feel like I was like, nah, I'm good now. It's all good. And then I realized I should have been seeing a psych the whole time. So go and do therapy. It's really good. I literally came out of my first session for a few years, and I was like, oh my God, that was so, I needed that. And I've booked another one, which is really, really good. But someone actually commented on one of my things. I don't know who you are, but thank you for commenting. On Spotify, you can comment. There you go. Leave your Q&A questions on the Spotify comments or anywhere, DM me. But he or she just said, because I was like, they just said, I listen to like everything you put on this feed. I just like listening to you when I'm driving or cleaning or walking or whatever. And I thought that was really cool because, you know, I've been talking a lot about like putting other stuff on this feed, like Movie Club, the world tour episodes for my travels and stuff like that. And I originally was like, I wonder if people will listen to this, but the numbers tend to like align. So it feels like most people are listening to most stuff. And I think it's just good that people like the content and want to listen to it. And if they see something from me, they will listen to it, which is awesome. I've been feeling like some of like the mental health stuff I've been dealing with is around like just numbers of stuff, like numbers of likes and views and all this shit that we get so caught up in. And I talked about it a little bit on the Pat and Mike show last week, but you know, the YouTube channel was just soaring. Everything was growing. Everything was getting views. And now suddenly nothing's getting views and it's like dead. And I'm like, what happened? How's this happen? And then I'm like, that hurts me, but it shouldn't, because there's so much real life that you miss when you're like looking at all these numbers and shit. But we all do it, and we all have like this excuse of like, well, it's just part of our lives now. We just use social media and the views and stuff. But like, I don't know. Part of me is like, you know, I do this pod, I work, I enjoy doing this pod, I enjoy making content, and if there are people that want to watch it, great. Like, I'm trying to be more comfortable with just like, hey, if people watch this shit, cool. If people listen to this shit, cool. But like, you know, I don't think I'm going to become a multi-millionaire podcaster doing deals and shit anytime soon. And maybe that's okay. And I'm trying to just, you know, explore that a little bit. Anyway, speaking of Japan, I talked last week about booking the tickets to Universal Studios Osaka, and I am crossing my fingers very hard and my toes, and please do it for me, that the Donkey Kong Country World will be open by the time I'm there. It's said to open in spring 2024. That is now. So I really hope it is open. You will know if it's open. I will post a lot of photos from Donkey Kong Land. But I think someone on YouTube posted a video from the park, and the entire Donkey Kong, this is massive for me, you guys probably don't care, the entire Donkey Kong section of the park is complete and the roller coaster is like running, like they're test running it. So I'm like, okay, it's all there. Hopefully they just open it, you know. I love Donkey Kong so much. The first video game I ever like played and loved was the original Donkey Kong Country on Super Nintendo. So I have to go to this world. It will be awesome. Okay, I saw something this week that was just like one of the genuinely most offensive things I've ever seen in my life. So I don't even know the source of this, but BAFTA, which I think is actually the British Film and Television Association, has released this list of the top 20 video game characters of all time, most iconic video game characters of all time. And it's one of the most absurd things I've ever seen. I think there was a sample size of 4,000 people, which doesn't really feel like enough for this kind of thing. But it's just so weird who they think is the most iconic video game character of all time. Like, I feel like I know stuff about video games, like a lot about video games, and I'm a huge nerd. But some of this list is really baffling to me, because according to this list, Lara Croft from Tomb Raider is the most iconic video game character of all time. Okay, I'll read out the list, the top 20, and then we'll just walk through it a bit. Because this is, to me, so many things on this list make no sense. And I think this is a terrible, terrible list and terrible data, terrible sample size. Everything about this sucks. Here we go. I'll just go 1 to 20. I won't say the numbers. Lara Croft, Mario, Agent 47 from Hitman, Sonic the Hedgehog, Sackboy from Little Big Planet, Pac-Man, Link from The Legend of Zelda, Master Chief from Halo, Kratos from God of War, Shadowheart from Baldur's Gate 3, Arthur Morgan from Red Dead Redemption 2, Pikachu, obviously, Steve from Minecraft, Snake from Metal Gear, Crash Bandicoot, Cloud from Final Fantasy VII, Asterion from Baldur's Gate 3, Kazuma Kiryu from Like a Dragon, Yakuza, Ellie from The Last of Us, and Nathan Drake from Uncharted. They're the top 20, allegedly. This is just absolutely absurd, because I will tell you right now, I won't even hesitate, okay? I'm going to make this call. There is no doubt in my mind, zero doubt in my whole mind, that the most iconic video game character of all time, right? Based on, iconic is different to like popularity and awareness, but I'm going to say, I think the idea of this list is the most awareness that a character has. And that character is definitely Pikachu. Like, I don't know how Pikachu ended up at number 12, because I guarantee you, 1,000%, almost every single person in the world could see a picture of Pikachu and name Pikachu. I really do believe that. I think that is how iconic that character is. Okay, even people who are on the periphery of gaming, because Pokemon is such a phenomenon across so many different forms of media, Pikachu is beyond the most iconic Pokemon. The most iconic video game character. It originates from a video game. And to me, there's no doubt about it. You can see it in the figures. Pokemon, one of the most profitable franchises in the world. I think it's in the top three at the moment. And also just like, I would argue, I've said this before, I think Pikachu is now more identifiable than Mickey Mouse and more relevant than Mickey Mouse, because like when I think of like big children's characters, like I feel like Mickey Mouse when I was a kid was like just an iconic character. Bugs Bunny was an iconic character. Now I feel like it's Pikachu, and I think Pikachu would definitely be number one. And to me personally, as someone who is in this space, and thinking about people who are not in this space, I seriously doubt many people could see a picture of Lara Croft and say, that's Lara Croft from Tomb Raider. But I think pretty much everyone could go, that's Pikachu from Pokemon. Lara Croft to me probably wouldn't even be in the top 10. And admittedly, maybe I'm biased because I've like never really played Tomb Raider, but I know who Lara Croft is, but I don't think my parents would. Whereas like, if I showed my parents who were like in their 60s and I'm like, they'd be like Pikachu, Mario, Pac-Man, Sonic. Like, to me, those are the top four. Then I would probably say Crash Bandicoot. Crash Bandicoot and Spyro, for my generation at least. To me, like a lot of the... Agent 47 from Hitman. I'm sorry, wouldn't even be in the top 50. I don't know how that character has made it to number three on this list. It is at top five... Pikachu, Mario, Sonic, Pac-Man, Crash Bandicoot. I really believe that. Master Chief from Halo is definitely iconic, but I still don't think anyone from my parents' generation could name Master Chief. Sackboy from Little Big Planet is... I don't know how he's in the top five. I don't know how they actually published that they think Sackboy is more iconic than Pikachu. There's no way. Fucking... Luigi is more iconic than Sackboy. Like, the thing is, like, they've only really done one from every series, but you could argue, like, Mario, Luigi, Peach, all of these characters are more iconic than most of these other characters, right? Link from The Legend of Zelda, I feel like, is iconic, but I think a lot of people couldn't name the character. They could be like, oh, yeah, that's Legend of Zelda. Like, a lot of people genuinely wouldn't know the character's name is Link. I really believe that, right? Mario, Pikachu, Sonic, Pac-Man, Crash Bandicoot. Pac-Man is iconic. You literally just show people the yellow circle with the pizza slice out of it. Everyone would go Pac-Man. I seriously believe that. Sonic as well. Like, Sonic is so much more of an iconic character than I think a lot of people think. And Mario is like Mr. Video Game. Like, everybody, I feel like, knows Mario. And then, yeah, just a lot of it. Just such a, like, Sackboy is the one I really can't believe as well. Sackboy at number 5. Like, I reckon maybe half the people listening to this pod right now don't even know what Sackboy is. And the whole point of Sackboy is just a bland sack humanoid character, right? Shadowheart from Baldur's Gate. Like, there is no way. I don't even know that character. I've never played Baldur's Gate, but there's no way you could show, like, 10 random people on the street a picture of Shadowheart from Baldur's Gate 3 and zero of them would name it. Zero people. Pikachu, 10 out of 10 every time. I guarantee it. Mario, 9 out of 10. Probably 10 out of 10. Sonic, 9. Crash, 8. Pac-Man, probably 9 or 10. But all of these characters, like, even, like, Steve from Minecraft, I feel like a lot of people would recognize, and Minecraft is incredibly iconic now. But even Steve from Minecraft, I don't think many people know his name is Steve. I think people are just like, yeah, that's Minecraft. They would say that's Minecraft. And I think to be iconic, people have to see you and know you. You know, like, Elvis Presley is iconic. Like, everyone knows, looks at him and goes, yeah, that's Elvis. Michael Jackson, Taylor Swift, Eminem, like, you know, all these people, most people would see them and go, yeah, that's them, because they're iconic. Like, I think this is just such a bizarre list, and it just feels like totally designed to, like, ruffle feathers or, like, to get people being like, what the hell? Because it doesn't feel like this is accurate at all. I'd love to, who do you think, here's a comment, you can comment in the Spotify comments or just DM me. Who is the most iconic video game character of all time? Who are the top 5 to you? Let me know. We'll go through some of them in the next episode. Okay. We've been doing this on the show recently, and I have an update on this segment. Let me be frank with you.
Frank check!
Yeah, it's Frank Check, where we check in on all of the news around Frankie Muniz on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, Australia. Love this show. Glued to it. Not really. Haven't had a chance to watch it recently, but Claire watches every ep and fills me in a fair bit. But I love the Frankie content. This one is actually a bit old, but I did want to talk about it a little bit. Actually, one funny thing that happened over Easter from my mum, classic my mum, she's like, oh, have you been watching I'm a Celebrity, The Jungle? And we're like, yeah, yeah. And she's like, how's months going? And everyone at the, like, all the kids, the kids in inverted commas were like, who? She's like, months. How's months? And I was, I knew that she was referring to Frankie Muniz, but in her mind, she has gotten Nelson Muntz from The Simpsons and Frankie Muniz from Malcolm in the Middle. She's confused them. So I just go, I don't know who you're talking about, Mum. There's no one in the jungle called Muntz. She's like, oh, you know, Muntz. What's his name? Muntz. Do you mean Frankie Muniz? Yes, Michael, yes, of course I mean that. So I was like, oh, you mean Frankie Muniz. Sorry, I thought you said months. I didn't know anyone in there called months. I just love that. I said to my parents recently, side story, I said to them, like, what I love about you two and people from your generation is that you have this thing that I think at least my gen, millennials or Gen Ys or even Gen Zs, like, we don't have this, which is even if they're wrong and they don't know something, they just say it with complete confidence anyway. If you have boomer parents, seriously, like, listen to them sometimes. I swear to God, they just so confidently get stuff wrong. And then they're like, yeah, that's what I meant. It's like, yeah, but you didn't say that. And they're like, yeah, but you know what I meant. No, we didn't, because you said it wrong, right? And months is a classic example of that. And the other one I told a few weeks ago on the pod was when my mum was insistent that Uniqlo was just Unico. She's like, I think, you know, it's Unico. It's like, it's not Unico. Anyway, back to Frankie for the Frank check. So Frankie actually had this interesting revelation recently on I'm a Celebrity where he talked about, well, I'll just let him do the talking actually.
Here's a story that no one knows.
Okay.
Ready? There's two episodes I'm not in.
No way.
Because I walked off the set. Everyone was so afraid to stand up when certain people were controlling or rude or disrespectful.
Yep.
Like they walked on pins and needles.
Yep.
I remember being so mortified by watching people afraid to stand up for themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm like, say something.
Yeah.
I didn't care if they told me I was never going back.
Yeah.
Because it was worth it to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To be like,
yeah,
I'm not going to, what am I supposed to put up?
But also the show is based around you. So well, they needed you. Yeah. So you had that power to be like, well.
That helped.
Yeah. Do you know how many countries it was syndicated?
It was, I mean, I get a residual check every couple of weeks and it's like the foreign stuff. Yeah. It'll be like the foreign.
Yeah.
And I mean, it just lists all the countries.
So you still earn money from that show?
Yeah.
Really interesting stuff there. A lot to unpack. Firstly, what I love about Frankie even being on this show at all is that he clearly does not need the money. And I don't know how much money they offered him to be on the show, but I don't think he needs it at all. He's getting residuals every month from Malcolm in the Middle. He retired with $40 million. He works as a NASCAR driver. Like, this guy, to me, doesn't need money. He's just like, oh yeah, this sounds like a fun thing to do. Mad respect for Frankie. He's not phoning it in. He's not trying to like just get a quick injection of cash. He just is doing this to kill time, it seems. The other thing is he says that there are two episodes of Malcolm in the Middle that he is not in. That, I don't think he's right about that. I don't know if he's like intentionally lying. I think he's misremembering because as far as I can tell, he is in pretty much every episode of the show. It's called Malcolm in the Middle, right? The only episode I could find that he's technically not in that this could be referring to, because I really don't think there's two episodes. The only one that he's technically not in is the clip show episode where they do like, you know, flashbacks of, you know, the past episodes and best ofs and stuff. Every sitcom has one. Well, generally the reason they did them back in the day is because once you get to 86 episodes, or maybe it's just 100 episodes, you can enter syndication and every show wants to get at least run long enough that they can be syndicated, right? And be aired reruns all around the world. That's the goal for back in the day on network television. That was the goal. And the reason they do clip shows is sometimes they just can't come up with ideas. So they're like, all right, let's just get an episode in by doing a clip show. And that counts. There is no new content from Frankie in the clip show episode. And what that means is like often clip show episodes are like framed around someone is like retelling the story or something like that. You know, like there's the episode of The Simpsons where they're like, it's a clip show episode where they're like looking back on past loves and they're sitting around the table talking about love and then they flash back to the episode. So there is some new content and that's the only episode I could find where Frankie Muniz doesn't do any new content, but he does appear in the flashback. So I don't know if he's quite accurate there with the two episodes that he's not in. But I did want to pivot because in light of Frankie being in I'm a Celeb, and I might have mentioned this last week, but we've been rewatching a bit of Malcolm in the Middle. You're not the boss of me now, and you're not so big. Yeah. I've got to say, genuinely, Malcolm in the Middle, I think, might be one of the most underrated shows of all time. Now, hear me out, because I get that it was a very popular show. Like, it's clearly a very popular show. Lots of people watched it, but I feel as though a lot of people, from what I gather about it, is that they kind of remember it, but they don't remember like anything particular about it. They just like, oh yeah, I remember Frankie Muniz. Yeah, cool. But they also kind of think of it as like a bit of a kid's show. Like maybe because it might be one of the only sitcoms of its time that was sort of focused on, you know, there were a lot of kid, like child characters in that show, right? So I think people think it's more of like a kid's kind of show, like a la Hannah Montana or like iCarly or something like that, right? Which it's not. Like it's a genuine sitcom and, you know, it's just not like Seinfeld, Friends, like I feel like those are the two peak kind of 90s sitcoms, and then the 2000s, I don't even know, like Big Bang Theory, Two and a Half Men, How I Met Your Mother. Whereas like Malcolm in the Middle was that one of those shows in the turn of the century that was just kind of there. It was very popular, but I feel like it never got necessarily like the respect it deserves because I always loved this show. I've seen every episode. It's a fantastic show. You should watch it. But as a kid watching it, like a teenager watching it, I related so much to Malcolm, Reese, and Dewey, the three boys, like the brothers in this middle-class family, this working middle-class family. That's why it's called Malcolm in the Middle. Like, yeah, he's the middle child, but it's about their very poor kind of middle-class family. And you'd relate to a lot of their antics, like their fighting, their school antics, and all of that stuff, that all the misbehavior that they get up to at home and stuff like that. You relate to that as a kid, but rewatching it today as an adult, the character that I relate to the most is Hal, the dad, and Lois, the mum. Hal, of course, is Bryan Cranston. And here's the thing. There are so many kind of bits and pieces in this show that is like, remind me of my upbringing. And like I said, when I was watching it as a kid, it reminded me of a kid, right? Like of my own life as a kid or as a teenager. And it was about, you know, the brothers had to like share beds and there wasn't always, like they didn't get to go on fancy holidays and they didn't get to do, you know, fancy trips and have fancy things. It was just like the bare minimum and their house was very tense and everyone was always arguing because like this is what a normal middle-class family looks like. It's not like the white picket fence and everyone is happy inside and everyone is like loving life. It's like dysfunctional family, you know? And they were very, I've read somewhere that The Simpsons was a big inspiration for that show because The Simpsons was one of the first kind of family TV shows where it wasn't all like sunshine and rainbows. It was like, and maybe it was helped because it was animated, but in The Simpsons, like they could show this dysfunctional family much easier and they could have like, you know, all these arguments and fights in this family that just wasn't perfect, which was kind of new. And then Malcolm in the Middle did it in live action. And, you know, it's kind of non-traditional in a way. There's no like laugh track in the show, which was very big at the time. And I think that was also inspired by like The Simpsons and, you know, it just like, the thing is, the reason now that I relate to Hal and Lois, the parent characters, is because as someone who's now an adult and like has a job and has all the stresses of having a job and earning money and paying bills and paying rent and all of this stuff, and like obviously I don't have children, but then you can really feel like the added pressure that having children, particularly that family who has five children by the end, how much money pressure that puts on the family. Like suddenly there's just all this trouble. And like one of the episodes we watched recently was like Hal realizes that he hasn't paid the family health insurance in a really long time. And he freaks out and realizes and starts like trying to overprotect everyone because they're not covered. They're not covered by the insurance and everything. And like all of these problems that come up with like a lack of money and stuff that's so relatable to anyone who grew up kind of in a working middle-class family. And both of the parent characters, like I think Bryan Cranston gets a lot of credit. I think her name's Jane. I can't pronounce her surname. That's terrible. But she plays Lois, the mum. I actually think that what they bring, they deserve so much credit for creating these really realistic, flawed parent characters. And Bryan Cranston, I remember reading this thing, because obviously Breaking Bad is his main thing, but I remember reading with him that, like, they were hesitant to hire him
to play Walter White in Breaking Bad because they had only seen him in Malcolm in the Middle and it was such a wacky role of his. But the thing is, you watch Malcolm in the Middle now and Bryan Cranston brings so much life to that role. Like, he's so expressive, energetic, and just conveys so much personality through that role that, like, to me, there should never have been doubt that he was a phenomenal actor that could portray anything. I guess it was such a heightened comedic role, but it's so, his expressiveness is so clear. And I also think the other thing about Malcolm in the Middle that, at least to me, feels like a thing that makes it so good is the three main brothers, Malcolm, Dewey, and Reese. There's also Francis, but often in the show, he's in a different like location because he was originally at boarding school and then he was basically the B plot of every episode and he was rarely with the main cast. But Malcolm, Dewey, and Reese, I think they're just so perfectly casted and they worked alongside each other so well and they actually feel like brothers. They actually feel like they are brothers. And I think that's what makes the show feel so real because it feels like these are three kids. All of the fights they're having are really normal. All of the things they're doing feel really authentic. And maybe that's a credit to the writing as well. But the other thing about the show, and this is why I think it's so underrated, is like, it kind of, in a way, watching it now, it brings me back to that era of life, which is like the 2000s, when I was a kid as well. I'm about the same age as the kids in the show at that point. And like, there wasn't social media, there wasn't phones. You had like a Nintendo 64 with a couple games, but then you just kind of like, sometimes you just were bored and there like wasn't stuff to do. So you would just, you know, you'd just sit and watch whatever was on TV. Like you didn't have choices. You just sit down and watch TV. Whatever's on, you watch. Maybe you watch a DVD. You know, even like the set, like this, all of the furniture in the house is very of that time. It's very middle class. And it just feels so authentic to that era. Like, we don't really have times now where you're just sort of bored and you're like, oh, what should we do? Because I just feel like for me, at least, I go straight to my phone and I start going on TikTok and shit. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I just wasted all this time. Like, and I'm not saying being bored is good, but I kind of do miss those days where you're just like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, we're just sitting here. What should we do? And then you like make up some stupid game with your brother or you just do something stupid with the neighborhood kids or you play like, backyard cricket. You play backyard cricket with the neighbors or you like go ride your bikes and shit. Like you just don't do that as an adult. And I don't think kids even do that now. And that show reminds me of those feelings. It's so nostalgic. And like, I just think it's the most underrated show of all time. Like seriously, it's amazing. You need to watch it if you haven't watched it already. Okay. I've got two more quick things. Maybe one. Joker 2. The trailer has just launched today, just before I was recording the pod, which is handy. Of course, it's the Joker character from like DC Comics, Batman's arch nemesis, Joker, the original Joker. I don't know, maybe that came out in like 2019. It was a while ago now, but it still feels like a new movie, which is weird. And Joaquin Phoenix absolutely nailed it. It was such a good movie. I love that movie so much. And, for a while, they've been teasing Joker 2, and it features Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn. This is a separate continuity to any other DC projects. Like, obviously, Margot Robbie has played Harley Quinn in the Suicide Squad stuff, but now it's Lady Gaga and Joaquin Phoenix, and it's a musical, which feels really weird. And the whole Joker, the original movie, it's just all about, like, this guy who's kind of failed by the system and like the dark, dark road that he goes down due to his like mental health issues that are not being helped by the system, right? And he ends up becoming the Joker, the greatest villain in history of Gotham City, right? And I feel like it's just such a fascinating story, a fascinating examination of of life and our society, and like it ends in an insane way. And now they're doing a musical for the second one, which does feel like, you know, the first one had a lot of surrealism and a lot of I don't know, like fantastical elements, but like doing an actual musical feels really funny. One thing I noticed is there are a lot of old songs that sound the same. So in the trailer, it kind of it's playing this song beneath it, and this is an excerpt from the trailer. Okay, so you tell me, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? I'm just curious, like comment it. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear that? Because the first thing that came to my mind was Willy Wonka, come with me.
Come with me and you'll be.
Right? It's that melody. And I was like, oh, that kind of fits, because I guess, like, you know, Willy Wonka as a character is like this absurd, wacky guy who runs a chocolate factory. Maybe they're trying to allude to that with Joker. Like, he's like a Willy Wonka type character, but in a like a sadistic way. That's a cool comparison. And then I thought, oh no, that's not the Willy Wonka song. That's Why Do Birds Suddenly Appear by the Carpenters, the Homer and Marge song from The Simpsons.
Why do birds suddenly...
Right?
Why do birds...
Like, oh yeah, it's that. Maybe they're alluding to that. That's like a really romantic, beautiful song, and this is like a love story between the Joker and Lady Gaga or Harley Quinn. Like, that could work as well. That's really interesting, you know, combining this like romantic song with this like sadistic character. I dig that. It wasn't either of those songs. It was the other song. It ends up being that other old song. And I, for some stupid reason, I didn't cue up a sound effect, but it's that one that's like, what the world needs now. That was a great impression by me. Well done. You know that song? What the world needs now. So that was a bit of a detour, but like it took me by surprise. I was a bit surprised. I will be pleasantly surprised if we get this song in the musical aspect.
The Joker is me.
That's the Kath and Kim theme song for all those who are not from Australia. Classic Australian sitcom, not as good as Malcolm in the Middle, but the Joker. It looks really interesting. I'm not 100% sold on the musical concept, but I guess like the whole point of the Joker character is to like subvert expectations, do the wacky weird thing, do something crazy, and like doing a musical in like a movie that's like about a man who's been let down by the system who turns into a supervillain. Like it feels like, yeah, like that is that's the Joker. He just does the opposite of what you'd think. And, you know, there are some examples of musicals that feel like they shouldn't be musicals, but they are. Like, I recently watched Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, with Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter, and Alan Rickman and Timothy Spall, all of whom were in Harry Potter. I recently watched that, and that's like a horror musical. It's all about Sweeney Todd, who like murders people. He's a barber, but he murders people, and then she cooks them into pies and they feed them to people. It's like such a bizarre, bizarre film, and it's a musical, you know, and I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know if that really fit, but it's like a very, very old musical. So yeah, I don't know. I'm really interested to see how this one plays out. I'll definitely go see it in the cinemas, and it's like definitely a movie I'm anticipating a lot in 2024, but yeah, I'm quietly cautious about it, I think. Okay, maybe I'll leave one more thing till next week because it's a little bit silly. So let's just do this for the end of the show. Psst, the plug! Patreon.com/RadioMike. Support the show if you listen every week and you want some more value. There's Pat and Mike full videos up there at the moment, which is great. There's a whole back catalogue of content. For a while I did like the TCB Overflow. There's a bunch of Pat and Mike's up there that you never would have heard before. So go and support the show. Movie Club this month is Freddy Got Fingered. So go and watch that so you can prepare for the Movie Club. Harry Potter and the Boys is still running. We're going to be pre-recording a few of those for when I'm in Japan.
fan as well. Go check out the TikTok and the YouTube channel. There's always new content there and different content now. So please go and check that out. Check out my hard quiz episode. And I think that's pretty much it. If you do have a question, please send it in because I want as many questions as possible for the bulk recorded episodes. But yeah, I'm looking forward to speaking to you next week, and then the one after that will be the first pre-recorded episode. Thank you so much. My name has been Radio Mike. This podcast has been The Inside of My Mind. I will catch you in the next one. Bye-bye.